Hello, my name is Nika Alexander, and I am a communications officer with the World Health Organization. The interview you are about to hear was recorded for World Malaria Day, which is April 25th. It is part of an interview series featuring leaders and advocates in the global malaria response as they reflect on key moments in fighting this disease. Globally, 91 countries had ongoing malaria transmission in 2016, the latest year for which we have full statistics. Nigeria bore the heaviest burden with an estimated 9.4 million cases in 2016 alone, or about a quarter of malaria illnesses and deaths worldwide. And cases are on the rise. WHO's latest World Malaria Report showed an increase of about 10% nationwide between 2015 and 2016. To learn about what WHO is doing in Nigeria to fight the disease, today we are speaking with Dr. Linda Ozor, WHO's malaria focal point in the country. She is based in Abuja, but often works in other states supporting WHO's emergency response and other activities. Welcome, Dr. Ozor.
Thank you very much.
So let's start straight in. You're at the front lines of malaria. You're working in a country with a high burden. What are some of the main challenges in fighting the disease that you see?
The challenges in fighting malaria in a big country like Nigeria, of course, as you would expect, they are quite enormous. But first, Nigeria's surveillance system, though progress has been made, remains very suboptimal, and so sometimes difficult to track and quantify the burden of the disease. This is most especially with the private sector and the community, where the national and state programs do not have direct oversight. So it's usually difficult to capture data from the private sector and from the community. So as we grapple with controlling the disease, we're consciously aware if we can't measure it, we simply say we can't manage it, but we are doing our best to make sure that we improve the surveillance system. Also, malaria being endemic in Nigeria has somewhat made it to be regarded as a traditional disease, which people often assume to be part and parcel of their daily lives. And this means that they individually sometimes do not give malaria the attention it deserves. This is what mostly seen with the self-prescriptions. People first will go to the chemist to buy anti-malarials, or once they have fever, they start treating malaria before you find them at the health facility. So most times the people you find at the health facilities would have visited some private medicine vendor.
You've outlined some of the challenges that go across the country. What about in the areas in Borno State, for example, where there's the challenge of conflict on top of everything else? How does that add to the difficulties?
Of course, conflict, like in any other situation, would compound and, you know, the already existing challenges, the inability to reach children or people when they need health care. The destruction of the health services or health facilities has greatly compounded the ability of people to seek care and receive quality care. If Nigeria in itself had a big challenge in handling the disease, the complexity of the humanitarian setting more or less triples the challenge.
Children are particularly vulnerable to malaria because they don't have immunity built up. In areas with conflict, there may be problems with malnutrition as well. What is WHO doing in particular to address the risk for children?
One of the recommended interventions was mass drug administration. And WHO supported a program in deployment of anti-malaria chemoprophylaxis to children under five, leaving about 1.2 million children were reached with that intervention. And so this is just one of the many areas where we have supported the Northeast insurgency.
That was a huge campaign that WHO launched, partners, that reached over 1 million children, as you said. What are the complexities of a campaign like that? Because it's not just reaching each child once. You have to reach them more than once, don't you, in multiple waves. So what are some of the logistical challenges of rolling out a campaign like that?
Nigeria is quite complex. And so one thing we have learned over the years is that you cannot use a one-size-fits-all. While we have a blueprint for deployment of interventions, you must contextualize it for every particular location. And so using strategies, identification of strategies that work in a particular location helps you penetrate better, helps us acceptability, and helps uptake of intervention. Luckily, we had an existing structure, what we can call the polio structure. Because the polio program has been on ground trying to reach children the last mile with the polio vaccines, we had to ride on that structure in order to reach the children, even in the remotest areas. There are issues of security, accessibility, geographic access and all that. But using the polio structure, we were able to align with the state structure. The states, it meant we had personnel at the national, the state, the local government, the ward level. So there was a lot of decentralization. There was a lot of decentralization in getting the intervention actually to the children. One thing we also noticed was that due to the impact or the effect of malaria in the area, of course, people are displaced, living in shanty, areas, makeshift apartments, houses that are not clean, and so you would expect that the incidence would increase. And so there was a felt need for malaria. When we moved into the field with the anti-malarias, there was a lot of acceptability. People were willing to take the medicines. People, in fact, the community leaders and the community persons, the people, the caregivers, were actually demanding for the anti-malarias for children above 5. So I think a lot of the challenges which we would have run into if we had gone without an existing structure were mitigated through the use of the polio structure.
Another approach that WHO has that's also about working right in the heart of communities is the Integrated Community Case Management Program. It's a bit of a dry title, but it's actually very much about people working with people. Can you tell us a little bit of the experience with that program where targeting hardest hit areas and fighting at the same time malaria, pneumonia, and diarrhea?
Integrated Community Case Management. As you know, WHO received funding from Global Affairs Canada to introduce and roll out ICCM in Nigeria. Hitherto, the introduction of ICCM, malaria program specifically, was doing a community case management of malaria, but using a different approach. So with the introduction of the Integrated Community Case Management, we sort of aligned with the strategy, guidelines were developed. Of course, decision tree documents that helped people deploy ICCM into the states. With the introduction, with the RACE project, ICCM was introduced mainly in two states, Abia and Niger states. First, initially, when we got into the field, there was nothing existing as we'd expect, but with constant community engagement, state engagement, we were able, state sensitization of the people, we identified ordinary community people who were trained to correctly assess and manage malaria, pneumonia, and diarrhea to children living in especially hard-to-reach communities. In terms of real-time experience, first of all, it was highly acceptable. The fact that we engage the community and make the communities were the people who selected the community volunteers, the community health workers, were selected and identified by the communities themselves. And so there were people who the community could relate with, there were people whom the community respected, and they were willing to take their children to seek care in their places. It was well accepted. In fact, in some communities in Niger State, we have seen where the community contributed money to build houses for these community health workers as a way of appreciation for the work they have done. There's been a lot of testimonials on the work of ICCM, and the government of Nigeria, the state government, have actually alluded to the fact that ICCM is one of those interventions that has worked and has proven to bridge the access gap that exists, especially for children living in the underserved communities.
That must be very satisfying to see that. As a last question, what other progress are you seeing? Because we started off with these statistics that are scary, that are intimidating about the size of the burden in Nigeria, and cases seem to be going up. What do you see that gives you hope, where you see the country going in a good direction?
Being a frontline worker in Nigeria, I'm very optimistic that Nigeria will eventually win the war against malaria. And this is because, first, there's a renewed political commitment to malaria, which we have seen through willingness of the government at all levels, national, state, and LGAs, to provide some domestic resources, some in form of counterpart funding for malaria. Secondly, the country has an ambitious strategic vision. As you may know, the malaria program in Nigeria has been renamed National Malaria Elimination Program. This is quite ambitious. I think this vision is being pursued with intent, albeit some lingering challenges. If we continue, if we have the adequate resources, the adequate manpower, the political commitment to fight the disease, and we align ourselves with the intent to achieve universal coverage of anti-malaria interventions, we will be heading towards our strategic goal, which is to reduce malaria, you know, to pre-elimination levels by 2020.
It sounds like you've got some of the really important elements in place, and you're part of that structure as well. Thank you so much for speaking with us today, Dr. Ozor.
Thank you very much.